Well, hello. This is Eric Sinrod, your partner at Duane Morris in San Francisco on a very foggy, somewhat dreary day. I also have on the phone, of course, and for this podcast, Jonathan Armstrong, my colleague in cyber issues in London. Jonathan, I know you pay attention to matters across the pond and things that are happening here in the U.S., and it seems like you've taken a particular interest in a new app that at least was available having to do with facial acne and some trouble the folks that provided the app got into vis-a-vis our Federal Trade Commission. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, that's right. It is actually two apps that, suffice to say, didn't hit the spot. But both of them were pretty similar, one for Android and one for iPhones. And seemingly how they worked is these applications, one's called Acne App and one called Acne Porner, were meant to get at the spotty generation. And we're not suggesting, of course, that anybody who uses a modern Android or iPhone suffers from acne, but clearly quite a lot of them do. And incredible though it may sound, what these apps did when you downloaded them is they both said that they could treat acne with colored lights that would be emitted from your smartphone. You were told to download the app, switch the app on, put your iPhone or Android phone next to the skin that you wanted to treat for a few minutes every day. The smartphone would then miraculously cure you of acne. And incredible though this might sound, it said that actually it was a British Journal of Dermatology study, they claimed, that blue and red light treatments would reduce your skin blemishes, so these apps said, by 76%. And they claimed that it was a dermatologist who'd invented this treatment. Odd though it seems, almost 3,500 people downloaded Acne Porner for Android Marketplace, and they paid about $1 each to do it. But perhaps saying the added value of people who use iPads and iPhones, I don't know, Eric, almost 12,000 people downloaded Acne App, which was twice the price. That was almost $2 a time. And why this is in the news is that the Federal Trade Commission are proposing to deal with the people behind both of these applications, and they've published possible settlement orders with the people who controlled Dermapps and Acne Porner, which is meant to effectively relieve them of the money that they relieved other people of for these applications. Well, it seems to me it's a much more, there are more general points than just this particular case. And we've talked before about false claims and how just as you can't make a false claim in a bricks and mortar shop, then you can't do that on the internet either. And we've seen in the past that the Federal Trade Commission in the U.S. have been active, the Office of Fair Trading in the U.K., for example, and about 12 or 13 other regulators, I think, in Europe have this commitment to take action against false claims on the internet. And it seems to me that as more and more business moves mobile, then surprise, surprise, so do those people who are responsible for deceiving members of the public. So they don't hang around outside railway stations anymore with miracle cures. They hang around on the Android and Marketplace and on iTunes instead. So I guess message number one is be careful what you're buying on the internet. Message number two is probably a good hygiene regime is better for curing acne than rubbing your phone all over it, though I should say at this stage I'm not a qualified dermatologist and that doesn't count as the Armstrong miracle cure. And thirdly, you know, the mobile world is going to be full of these scams, I think, because people can set up relatively quickly. They don't need a payment mechanism. Marketplaces like iTunes allow Apple to collect the money and split it with you. And so genuine businesses need to be aware of the threat that these new marketplaces pose as well. I don't know what you thought, Eric.
Well, I've noticed that you have very smooth skin, Jonathan, so this app must have worked for you, right? No, but seriously, it does goes to show there seems to be an app now for practically anything out there, and plainly people need to be careful to buy only those that are legitimate. I will point out this, though. I mean, while on the one hand it's good to know that the Federal Trade Commission here in the U.S. at least is out there trying to protect the public from hoaxes and, you know, false promises and schemes. On the other hand, you know, really, how stiff was the penalty? I mean, if I read what's been said about the consent orders, essentially these providers of the apps at issue here simply had to disgorge the money they received. They're not, I don't understand, and I haven't heard that they're paying some substantial penalty over that, that they're paying other costs, or, you know, they certainly don't face any sort of imprisonment or incarceration, nothing like that whatsoever. So while on the one hand, the FTC has come after them and told them they can't do this anymore and they have to pay back the money they gained, is that really enough to be a deterrent to others, others who might be able to perpetrate schemes and not necessarily be caught? If the only downside is, well, if you get caught, you have to pay back the money, is that really such a tremendous penalty? What do you think?
I think that might well be right. I mean, I guess with other false claims, there is the danger of a follow-on class action. Certainly in Europe, if you had this type of action by the Office of Fair Trading, for example, you could adduce the evidence of that regulatory activity in any civil proceedings you brought. But question, I guess, whether if you had spent $2 and had then rubbed your face with your iPhone for the next 6 or 8 weeks, would you really want to go to court to admit it?
That's interesting. Well, that's right. And you do make a good point, because sometimes this is the fuel that leads to the fire of class actions. It seems like this one didn't go all that far. I mean, you mentioned there were a certain number of people that downloaded the app, but you know, the total amount of money we're dealing with was not astronomical. This had not, you know, really taken off on the internet yet, and that's why the total amount disgorged is relatively minimal, and probably also why I'd be surprised that there would be a class action that would follow on this. But in other contexts, that certainly could happen.
Yeah, I think that's definitely right, and I guess the FTC were trying to discourage other people from creating similar tasks. So I guess in some respects they're trying to put a marker down. Remains to be seen how much money they would have made if they'd have said that their app could erase unwanted tattoos, but that might be a whole other story.
That's true. And I must confess, I've downloaded an app that provides for a flashlight on my BlackBerry, so there is a light that comes out that I can use, but I haven't applied it to my face. And I think at this point, this point I probably will not. So I think we've hit our 10-minute marker for your weekly Tech Law 10. We thank you for joining us. As always, we're ubiquitous. You can find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, on the DwayneMorris.com website. My email is ejsinrod@DwayneMorris.com. And Jonathan, if you want to do the finishing touch.
Yeah, I'm jparmstrong@DwayneMorris.com. And do please join us in our Tech Law 10 discussion forum on LinkedIn. You just go to the right-hand side of the screen when you've got LinkedIn open, drop down the box so it reads Groups, type in Tech Law 10, and you'll be able to find us. And we'll post the consent orders to the LinkedIn group if anyone wants to take a look at them there. And
there
that, I guess, is it for this week, isn't it? We're on Twitter, and you're on Facebook and LinkedIn as well. And do keep your suggestions for articles coming. We're always pleased to hear from people. And I guess that's it for this week. Thank you for listening.
Okay, until next time. Thank you.